every once in a while I will make a statement or a comment on one of my like weekend talks, which always, I know it's always going to end up the same. I'm going to get a kind of a barrage of fearful emails. A while back, I was teaching through the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy, and I made some strong statements. The first one went like this, is that not everybody goes to heaven. Thus, the reason Jesus had to come, all right, because to save us from condemnation. The other one was, not everybody who calls themselves a Christian really is. And we all believe that. We all understand that. But then it brings up a fear in us, like, am I? And how do I know? The definition of Christian is somebody who's put their faith and trust, as best as they know how, that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, he is the Savior, and that his death on a cross can pay for your sin, your separation from God. So put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he will give you forgiveness as an act of grace. A Christian is somebody who's put their faith in Jesus Christ alone, period. Now, then he come up and it says, okay, but what is that? How do you know if you've done that or not? And the question is, well, Jesus would say, well, if you're an apple tree, you produce apples. He would call it, well, Paul would call it the fruit of the Spirit. A person who has the Spirit of Christ living in them begins to produce fruit that resemble the Spirit in you of Christ. So the areas of life that I'm continually wanting to go back and check in my life are areas like, how am I spending my money? Because my treasure and my heart are in the same place. And if my heart belongs to Jesus, it does make a difference in how I spend my money. Sexuality is the biggest part of our life. All right, we cannot like park sexuality over there and go, I'm pretending I'm not a sexual being. You are. But how is your sexuality reflecting the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and patience and kindness and purity that would resemble Christ? And then how am I using my power and my influence? I'm using it for myself and my selfish reasons, all right? So then it comes up and it goes, so are you saying, right? Are you saying that if I'm not a generous person, that I'm not really a Christian? If you're saying that I'm not following what I know the Bible, I don't want to say the Bible, but I know that Jesus is teaching around marriage and sexual purity and, around things like anger and divorce. If you're saying, are you saying that if I am not doing that right, that I'm not a Christian? And I think these are the wrong questions. I really do think the question is not, if I do this, am I saved? The answer is, if you're saved, if you love Jesus, how can you resolve the tension of, I love Jesus, but I'm going to continue to do this other thing? Now, let me be really, really, really clear on this, okay? I'm not in charge of that. Of going, well, I've been looking at your life and I've made the decision that you're not really a Christian. That's above my pay grade. And it's above every human being's pay grade. But you know, there's part of us in going, why do I feel some tension around this? Is this just my own, you know, crapping on my head? Or is God trying to say, hey, I want to talk about this part of your life? Whenever I teach on marriage and I've used this illustration before that I don't look at Robin and go, hey, if we get married, how many nights do I have to come home before we get divorced? Or if we get married, how many other women can I sleep with before you file, right? These are the wrong questions, right? And if you're asking those questions, like how far, like if this is the center of, this is what I'm going for, you don't start going, well, how far? What about this? And what about this? And what about this? What about this? If I love Robin, well, I'm going to be asking, like, how closer? How much closer? How much closer? How much closer? And it's the same thing with God, okay? We continually are examining our lives, not because we're afraid that we're going to hell because there's something wrong. It's because if the more our love deepens for God, the more we want intimacy with him, right? We want closeness with him. And when that's in my life, it interrupts that closeness. So what needs to change in my life so that I have closeness with my wife, with my kids? What's interfering with that? That would be a sin against my marriage. It would be a sin against my family because it's interfering with the intimacy that God wants for my life. Is drinking a sin? I don't know. Is it interfering with your intimacy with God and the people in your life? Is it distracting or keeping you from addressing something that's destroying your life? You say, well, I've got it under control. okay, maybe you do, but you have to keep on going back and going, I need to keep that in front of me so that I keep on examining it. Of course, the big one out there, the church has come up with a list of, yeah, but what about this, right? And I don't give you one. So I got an email this past week from a person who's in a gay relationship who comes to Flatirons. And they ask, so this is my life. Am I saved? You know, and it's like, I this is probably going to get me in trouble, but I don't look at sexuality as the keys to the gates of heaven, right? And if you do it right, you get in, and if you do it wrong, that one's. And the Bible has much more to say about heterosexual immorality than it does homosexual immorality. It just puts it all in a drawer and goes, it's all immorality. But, you know, I never get an email from a heterosexual couple saying, so you're saying if we sleep, or if I commit adultery, if I have an affair, then I'm not a Christian? I've never gotten that email. I do get it all the time going, so you're saying that gay people or whatever that is, it's like, I can find a lot more verses and words from Jesus about you should be really concerned if you're a greedy person, if you belong to God or not. I'm not minimizing sexual sin at all. I just think that we zero in on that one, probably because it's such a huge part of our life that it has to mean something more than other parts of our life. I think that's usually self-imposed or it's imposed by other people. On the flip side is we don't want to look at what Jesus says about money is going. It's a very big indicator if you belong to me or not. Whoa. Now you're judging me and you're this and you don't understand. That's why I think it's really, really important to ask better questions. The question is not, if I do this, am I going to hell or am I not saved? The question is, if you're saved, is this what God's best is for you? I think a lot of times it's like when we go back and it's like, why would God put that rule on my life? Well, if God is loving and God wants good for me and God knows more than me, the reason that he would tell me to do anything or not do anything is because he wants good for me, right? And so then I have to look at it and going, okay, am I wanting the same good for me that God wants for me? And that's the question we have to keep on looking at ourselves. God's not trying to spoil our fun. God's actually trying to give us an abundant life. He said he came to give us an abundant life. He knows how to get us there, right? So is that the way that you are expressing and pursuing sexual behavior? Is that bringing you closer to God or further away? And that's what you ought to do, right? The way that you're spending your money, is that honoring God or honoring you? I don't know. Are you going to heaven or hell over either one of them? The Lord knows those who are his. I don't. So whenever I teach about this is not according to God's will, and your first question is, does that mean I'm going to hell? The question is, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're not going to hell. The follow-up is, but if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, why do we still want to run towards things that he says, that's not good. I have something better for you. And that's a lifelong journey, right? That's a lifelong journey. I think the Christian life is much more, the salvation thing has been settled, and from that point on it's directional. Am I moving closer or further away? And that's between the Holy Spirit and you. And I believe the Holy Spirit will actually point those things out to you. And that sounds weirdly spiritual. You know what I'm talking about. Some people call it their conscience, or they just call it this vibe or this feeling I have. Whatever that is for you, I believe God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And he gets our attention in a lot of different ways. But let's stop asking the question, especially about other people, do you think they're saved or not? Because they do this or don't do that. I think let's look in the mirror a lot more and go, if I really love God and understand what he has done for me through Jesus on the cross, how can I continue to hold on to that? And the question is not, do I want to or not? It is, out of my love for my wife, out of my love for my kids, I'm going to make choices that are going to take me in a better direction. So let's stop asking, if you do that, does that mean you go to hell? Or if you don't do that, let's start asking, if you're saved, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior of your life, if he's your King, like, are you running towards him or are you resisting him and walking in another direction? And that's that needs to be between you and God. You can ask some other people. You can ask some other people to speak into it, but they cannot replace God's voice in your life or his word in your life. So keep on going back there. You don't have to walk around worried if you're saved or not. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you're saved. And now follow him.